Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is The Savage Nation, and instead of calling this what everyone else calls their Friday show, we're calling it Letters to the Editor Friday. Remember in the old days when there were newspapers in America? In the antique days when there were letters to the editor, and occasionally you'd get a letter published. Well, today, of course, it's owned lock, stock, and barrel by the illegitimate left, and you have no outlets for your thoughts. Today on The Savage Nation, we're going to call the show Unscreened Friday. Just dial 855-400-7282, 855-400-SAVAGE, and Eric will screen your calls and put you right up there. I'm going to unscreen calls initially. It's your first opportunity to get up and say something. And now I want to go to something very important for me personally, especially at this stage of my career. The ratings just came out on the Internet. Talk Stream Live. Michael Savage beat everybody by a distance no one's ever seen in the history of TSL in streaming radio. It's never happened before. My show is number one with a 20 share. No one sees shares like this at all. And I'll read what the editor of the newspaper said. Michael Savage ranked number one for the first quarter 2014 unopposed. The Savage Nation annexes afternoon drive, winning new listeners and justly reclaiming the top streaming talker spot with a 20 share. Rush Limbaugh is a solid second with a 13 share. Glenn Beck is a 7.2 share. Laura Ingraham is a 5.4 share. Hannity is a 4.1 share, and the rest we will let you find for yourself. We're putting them up on the Savage Nation. The important thing for you to know is that there's a seismic shift going on in radio listening across the landscape, both on radio stations and on the Internet. And as you know, most of the Internet listening is done primarily by a younger demographic. And for me to be pulling a 20 share at this stage with Rush dropping to a 13 share, God bless him, tells you that the times they are a-changing. Now, from that, I want to go into this. Conservative media and what's happened to it and how many of these conservative media sites have become nothing but nasty, self-interested sites, no different than the liberal sites and the liberal politicians that they so often bash. As you well know, many conservative media sites spend their time bashing the so-called mainstream media, the liberal media, telling us that the liberal media has a bias and a slant, telling us that they don't carry the stories we as real, true Americans care about. But if you actually see what's been going on, many of these so-called conservative media outlets are just an echo chamber for the Republican Party. But worse, but much worse, they have become much worse. One example is Breitbart. When Andrew Breitbart was alive, it stood for something. There was integrity to the brand. It was reporting that people were excited about and believed in. I am sad to say that since Andrew Breitbart's passing, in my opinion, Breitbart has become an overrun site with wannabe talk show hosts and sleazy lawyers who use the site simply to attack their enemies, liberal and conservative alike. They are like jealous sorority girls with long fingernails and too much lipstick, with too much Botox to even think clearly. Breitbart's become peopled with people who are only conservative when it suits them. Now, the biggest reason conservatism and talk radio are in some decline is because the message has become old and tired and flexible and isn't drawing in new blood. There are many alternatives to capture a listener's attention and to listen to the constant attack on liberals, the constant attack on the mainstream media, when in fact sites like Breitbart do exactly what they say the others do, is why the conservative movement is in somewhat of a tailspin. Let me give you one quick example. In the now discredited Breitbart site, they recently ran an article about the decline in ratings on selective radio shows. They protected Sean Hannity and his radio sycophants, and they outright lied about Michael Savage. The fact of the matter is numbers don't lie, except to sleazy lawyers who work for the Breitbart News outlet. Because in New York, on WABC, I had three times the audience of Hannity. In Chicago on WLS, I had almost five times the audience of Hannity. In San Francisco on KSFO, I had three times the audience of Hannity. In Texas, Dallas, I had a 1.3 share to Sean's 0.5 share. I'm reading the numbers again, because if I do not defend myself, who will? It certainly won't be the fake conservative sites like Breitbart. And that's why I say to you, be very, very careful who you believe in and which sites you read for your information. Because many of these sites, which were once very important in this country, have become peopled with those who are exactly like the enemies they attack on a daily basis. Again, going back to the TSL Top 25 streaming talk shows, which came in 15 minutes ago, by the way, it's pretty amazing that somebody's hand is moving something upstairs, because I was going to read you that monologue and then go on to the show. And 15 minutes before the show, to further support my position, the talk streaming live ratings came into my hand 15 minutes ago. They came in 20 minutes ago, as a matter of fact. Michael Savage, 20.1 share. Rush Limbaugh, 13 share. Glenn Beck, 7 share. Laura Ingraham, a 5.4 share. Sean Hannity, a 4.1 share. They're astounded in the industry. And I want to ask you something. What do you think is going on in the media that I am suddenly surging to a... You know what a 20 share means? That means 20% of all the people who are listening to talk radio are listening to me. That's what a 20 share means. I've never seen numbers like this. These are numbers that are unheard of today. But that's not the only topic I want to talk about. We've got news. We've got the whole week's news to discuss. We've got the letters to the editor to do today. There are unscreened calls today. Let's begin on WBAP. Well, I got to visit that station one of these days. Uh-oh, I said something I shouldn't say. WBAP, Shelley, what's on your mind on the Savage Nation today?
Hi, Dr. Savage. Love your show. I'm probably Savage at number 1 million, actually.
But I think I'm going to create, I think I should create some gift for the Savagettes out there. They can all wear my something, my hat or something.
Something.
Shelley, what's on your mind tonight?
In Texas back in, I think, about 3 years ago, and which is actually the most liberal city in Texas. I'm not from Texas, by the way. I'm from the north, thank God. But I have to tell you, I saw a sticker on a vehicle in front of me, and I lost my mind. It said, Savage for President. And I nudged my husband. I'm like, oh, my God, look at that car. We couldn't get a picture fast enough, though. But it was pretty amazing to see that.
Maybe they meant to say there's a Savage who is president.
Well, I don't know. Let's see, this would have been...
I'm just joking. I am not running for office. I am not a politician. If anyone out there knows me, they'll know I'm the last thing in the world other than a politician. I do not belong to a secret society. I do not have a masonry tool. I do not have a secret handshake. I do not have secret code words. I do not go to the Bohemian Grove and dance naked in the wilderness in August. There is no chance in the world that I will become a politician. You can rest assured of that. I am perfectly discontent to be a talk show host, and I thank you for the call to the Savage Nation. Again, it's a show I'm calling Letters to the Editor Friday, Unscreened Friday, 855-400-7282. Whichever topic is goading you, grating you, eating you alive, making you sick, making you want to break things, making you want to finally go to a psychiatrist and say, I give up, give me some pills. But you're not going to do it. Instead of going in and get some pills, you're going to call the Savage Nation. ABC, New York City, with a W in front of that. John, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, good afternoon. I was listening to you during the week, and I picked up on that, which I already had known, 33% of the U.S. Prisons are filled with illegal aliens with criminal records. Now, I was on the computer the other night. It was one story that was on there that was on the, I believe it's the MSNBC network, that three United States Marines in full dress uniforms were attacked and stabbed.
They went to a baseball game and they got attacked by the animals for they were protecting a woman who was being beaten up.
Correct, Dr. Savage, and they didn't mention their nationality, but I read their names, and I don't know if they're illegal or not, but I guess you could draw your own conclusions.
Well, no, they're normal Obama voters. Now, one of the reasons Obama wants to legalize illegal aliens is because 30% of the prison population consists of illegal aliens. One out of three prisoners is a non-citizen. You want to grant amnesty to them and have them vote? Obama does, and some of the Republicans do, John. That's why blanket amnesty is a disaster. It's that simple. Now let's go to San Francisco. Jose is on KSFO in San Francisco. Jose, what's on your mind today on Unscreened Friday?
Hello. Hi. First, I want to say congratulations on 20 years and happy late birthday.
Oh, thank you. I had a birthday on Friday, on Monday. Right.
Yeah. I listen to your station a lot. I want to say I was a liberal before I started listening to your station. I knew, you know, I didn't know what was going to happen when Obama was going to be president. So I turned on to my radio because I wasn't going to find it on FM. And I found you. And since then, I've just been listening to your whole station. And I want to say I just started my business. And, you know.
You see, there you go. An American who just started his own business is a natural conservative, a fiscal conservative. And I can guarantee you, you're also a social conservative. You don't have to say that's what you are. But if you believe in marrying a woman and having children and raising a family, not treating them like dogs, where you just impregnate a woman and run away, then you are a conservative socially. It's that simple. And that's why, by the way, Jose, may I ask, do you happen to be Hispanic?
Yes.
Well, I know that Hispanic people are generally very family-oriented and extremely conservative socially. So don't think it's unusual for you to listen to my show and find, to say, wait a minute, I agree with this guy. I must have heard the wrong things about him. So you got to understand who you listen to, Jose. There's a lot of people out there who say things simply to drive people like you into the untruth. That's all. 855-407-282 is the phone number. We're moving along in the Savage Nation today. It is 17 minutes after the hour. Let's go to, where's Donna? Let's go to Washington, D.C. on this great national show. Donna, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind from MAL?
Hello, Dr. Savage. Yeah, right near the Devil's Den. Here we are. I want to say the reason why you've just skyrocketed is something we've known all along. As I said to you once before, it's brutal honesty. It's telling people what they need to hear versus what they think they might want to hear. It's like watching a cage fighter against those, stage wrestlers. You hit everybody with facts, and you do it in a way that it's like an addiction. It's wonderful, and I can't thank
you. Well, I got to tell you something. That's absolutely right from the point of view of how I see the world and how I speak. I speak in a brutally honest way. But when I listen to people in the media, I'm not talking about talk radio hosts, when I watch television hosts, I want to break things. There's not a word that comes out of their mouth that even approaches the truth. Everything is parsed. Everything is smooth. It's like smooth jazz versus John Coltrane. It's as simple as that. It's like mariachi music as opposed to real Mexican music. It's like slack key guitar music as opposed to Don Ho. I can go down the list, but I don't think I need to. That brings us to 18 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the Savage Nation. It's Open Mic to Mike Friday, today known as Unscreened Friday, or Letters to the Savage Editor. 855-400-7282. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from. SwissAmerica.com. Of all the rock and roll I could have picked, I picked one that my father liked before he had a heart attack. We're almost going to put that on his gravestone. There goes my heart. No, it's sad. I mean, you think about it. But then we decided, come on, this is not a joke. I mean, you're talking about the deceased. But there it is. I mean, it's some week for me. What a week we've been having. Up and down and up. And then to end on this note of, to keep your head while all those around you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, then you will be a man, my son. Remember how many times I used to read that in the 90s, that great poem? If you can walk with kings and never lose the common touch, then you will be a man, my son. Remember that great poem by Rudyard Kipling? Rudyard Kipling was one of the greats. He fell out of favor when he became a believer in the British imperialism, meaning the British nation itself. And then the liberals turned on him and made him marginalize them. They can't marginalize someone as great as he, but go and read the poem If to One of Your Children, Man or Woman. It's an amazing poem. I'll never forget it. If you can keep your head when all those about you are blaming you, right? Or something. Who remembers? I don't know right now. I didn't eat enough lunch. All right, too much lunch. These new hours are hard for me in a way. Because I don't know when to eat lunch. I can't eat Indian buffet. I can't eat Chinese buffet. They're not open yet. And here I am. It's Friday. It's Unscreened Friday. The ranks came in. 20 share for Michael Savage on the TSL Top 25 streaming talk shows. This is amazing. I might say, oh, it's a marginal small audience. No, it isn't. The survey period is from the 1st of January, 2014, through the 31st of March, 2014. That's a whole quarter. A sample size that's very significant from an epidemiological statistical point of view. 862,425 listener sessions. TalkStreamLive.com. Now, the fact is, I'm on radio stations. That's what's really important to me. The radio stations are king. And even on the radio stations, my numbers are awesome. So no matter what Breitbart may be trying to do in order to push, let us say, their friends in the media and get a job on the radio, it's all a faker. I don't believe a word that they print on their page anymore. Now, on Monday, I'm looking back on the week that was. The headline was, trying to bring back affirmative action at the University of California. Criminal gang trying to overturn a ban on affirmative action, which is being opposed by Asian Americans, thank God. The reason Asian Americans oppose the return of affirmative action is because Asians are not considered minorities because they're too smart. In other words, you're only a minority. How shall I put it another way? Asians are not afforded the benefits of affirmative action hiring and admissions and scholarships because they can do it on their own, thank you very much. They don't need the government to help them. So consequently, they've lost their minority status to the liberals, to the social engineers who want to fill America with as few qualified people as possible in every possible turn. Clip number two on Tuesday, we talked about Chinese acquiring large chunks of land in America and should limits be placed on foreign ownership of American property. In Canada, for example, a foreign entity can only own 20 acres of land, or I think it's 40 acres. I once looked into buying wheat land up there. I wanted to do what Ted Turner did and buy 2,500,000 acres of Canada. I wanted to buy Manitoba. I didn't have the money, but I thought about it and grow wheat. So I settled on 20 acres and a mule. There are other topics, but Canada said no mules allowed.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
When the lights go down in the city. This is Journey, I think. Even an old dude like I know Journey. Because they're each 105 themselves. I got to tell you something about this song. I was off the air before I started with Cumulus between the last incarnation and radio and this. And for a month, I sat around not knowing where I'd end up if I'd ever be on radio again. And when I got the deal with Cumulus and I knew I was going to be back on KSFO in San Francisco and all the other great stations, I used to listen to this song. I swear it brought tears to my eyes because it's about the city I love so much. You know, socially, I mean, the city is a wreck, but which city isn't in the porn belt? I mean, in the porn belt, they're all a wreck. So that leaves me with very few choices because I need to live near water. The reason I need to live near water, you don't realize that, is because water is the farthest thing from the opposite of heaven. See, in the world, there's places that are heavenly and the opposite of heavenly. And water does not exist in the place that's opposite to heaven. And that's why I like to live near the water. I think that's the reason. No, I've always loved the water. I have a water affinity. I'm like a saltwater plant. So I read you the clips of the week to give you a reviewer. I didn't do this for you yet on the Savage Nation. This is a great week for me. My birthday and then this. Ranked number one at 20 share. I can't get over it. It'll be up on my website. No other website will touch it because they want to pretend I'm still a marginal player. And they can't. I mean, the world's changed under their feet. You know, there used to be an adage in alternative medicine. I was an early worker, pioneer in alternative medicine, meaning herbal medicine, nutritional medicine, homeopathy, etc. I have a real doctorate from a great university, University of California, and I've written many books. But I worked in the side areas of medicine, in the sense of medical sciences that were not accepted. And many of the things that we were talking about going back to the 1960s in herbal medicine, in nutrition, which were considered marginal and crackpotish, are now mainstream. They've been mainstream by medicine. And it's the same in talk radio, by the way. Many of my ideas, which are considered outlandish by the, let us say, standard guard, the standard bearers of the society, will eventually become accepted as the norm, and I don't know when that will be. Now, one of the things that I specialize in on the Savage Nation, that people who hate my politics but love my stories, are my stories. So I have a little list for them of them here. We put together 7 of them for you today, and I want to know which ones you want to hear. The first is Louis the Alcoholic, who taught Savage how to bend nails with his bare hands when he was 11. The next story is Woodchuck Bill, the hobo, telling stories to the little kids up in the Catskill Mountains. The next story is Half Man and Half Woman in Long Beach. The next story is Louis and the Monkey Story. Oh, that's a great one. And then, of course, the cultural phenomenon of crack pants, compared with my... I had a pair of pants, I had blue suede shoes, and I had pants, saddle-stitched pants. The story of the saddle-stitched pants, I never forget as long as I live. I went to junior high school, I was rather young, and on the small side, I entered the school young. I skipped the grade, and there were kids in that school who were like a foot taller, 50 pounds heavier, and mean as a snake. So here's this little kid showing up in these snaggy pants, and I got into a scuffle, and I ripped the pants at the knee. I didn't get beaten up, but my pants got ripped. And I remember going home and trying to hide the ripped knee on the pants because they were very expensive. They must have cost $11 at the time. They were expensive, you know. I didn't want my mother to see it because I was afraid she'd be heartbroken. So I hid the pants. I don't know how I hid them. I don't know. I walked in sideways, I think, into the house. Hey, Ma! Nevertheless, I'm standing talking to her sideways, and she keeps walking around to the front, and no matter which way she turned, I'm moving to the side, so she never saw my face, because then she'd see the ripped knee. Finally, we went in a full circle. She said, "What's wrong with you today? Why are you spinning in a circle?" I said, "No, no reason. I always talk to you this way, with a cup of cocoa in my hand." Nevertheless, she finally saw the rip in my knee on those expensive $11 pants. They were saddle-stitched pants. Remember, they were very popular at the time, and I didn't know what to do. And she says, "Oh, God." She said, "Well, don't worry about it." And she called up my aunt, who came over. They had a conversation at the kitchen table. At that point, I went upstairs and put on the dead man's pants that I could go play in. And they analyzed the pants on the table as they moved around, eating some kind of coffee cake and drinking coffee. They sifted the crumbs on the table, as women would do in those days. Oilcloth table, whatever, like a plastic tablecloth. Can you imagine a woman in a fancy neighborhood having a tablecloth like that today? Not sufficiently sophisticated, huh? But they worked. I mean, you could spill things on them and wipe it right up. They sifted the crumbs, and by the time the crumbs were sifted, they came up with a solution to my ripped pants. And they called me in and they said, "Michael, don't worry. We're going to send the pants out and have them weaved." Weaved. Now, I didn't know what weaved meant, but the world became a perfect place for me. So that was a nice story. That was the electric blue saddle stitch pants, which was in one of my storybooks, and I don't know which one. Then I have the story of Savage's nutty friend with a wacko mother who was on speed. Now, that's a good story. I got to save that for another day. Yeah, I had a friend who's, well, I don't want to get into it. Then there's the chestnut man outside the Museum of Natural History, the old perv, who tried to get me and my friend, "Hey, kids, you guys want to see some pictures? Come on up to my..." Now, we knew he was a perv. I mean, kids know when the guy's sick. He sold chestnuts on these cold days outside the Museum of Natural History. And we used to ride the subway, go to the museum, look at the big diamond, look at the dinosaur skeleton, eat hot dogs outside, get snow on our noses. What a beautiful time I had. Never any problems, never. Two 11-year-old boys running around New York subways. Meanwhile, you go and you buy chestnuts roasting outside the Museum of Natural History, and this old guy, the white guy, and he was a perv, and he was looking to, you know, grab some young boys. So we didn't know what he was. He didn't wear a sign saying, "I'm a perv." But he would say, hey, you guys. They always made you into like men. They wouldn't call you boys if they want. "Hey, you guys, how are you today? You want to come up to my place? It's not far from here. I'll show you some pictures." Well, I can't tell you what happened shortly thereafter, but let me put it to you this way. My friend Alan and I didn't go up to the guy's apartment. Envision chestnuts rolling all over the sidewalk with hot coals on the man's feet, because that's what happened. No, we were mean enough to survive in those days, and we took out on him what should have been done to him a long time before. I don't know where he is today, but I do know this. A crime against children like that, to me, should be punished by a capital punishment, as far as I'm concerned. Because once you steal a child's innocence, that child's ruined for the rest of his life or her life. You can never regain that innocence, ever. Now, whether you are a Tory or a Whig doesn't matter to me. You see, you may be a Whig or you may be a Tory. You may not know that there is a difference between a Whig and a Tory. Today, there's an interesting article in Mother Jones where it says Thomas Jefferson was a smart dude. And in one of his letters to John Adams, dated June 27, 1813, Jefferson made an observation about the nature of politics that science is only now, two centuries later, beginning to confirm. Quote, listen carefully. The same political parties which now agitate the United States have existed through all time, wrote Thomas Jefferson, and this is in 1813. The terms of Whig and Tory belong to natural as well as to civil history, he later added. They denote the temper and constitution of mind of different individuals. Now, Tories were the British conservatives of Jefferson's day, and Whigs, W-H-I-G-S, were the British liberals. And so what he was saying then, and which is true today, is whether you call yourself a liberal or a conservative, or they call themselves a Whig or a Tory, had as much to do with a person's psychology or innate disposition as it had to do with their ideas. Did you know that? And there's something pretty fundamental and basic about liberals and conservatives then and now and for all time. And you'll find it in all societies, which I think is very interesting. And so now we go back to the callers on the Savage Nation, 855-400-7282. We have wonderful callers from around the world, not only around the country. We had a caller from an Air Force base in the Middle East listening to me online. I mean, I don't know what those poor guys do for any truth when they have Hegel the Bagel running the military. It's hard for me to believe they can survive. When you got men flying F-A-18 Hornets off aircraft carriers in the Navy, and you have men flying bombers, even if they're just on standby, and the Air Force Secretary is a woman who never flew a Piper Cub, you have to ask yourself, how much longer can this military survive? If this is not changed, this country will be like Portugal in 15 years. This country will have the equivalent of the Portuguese military if we don't stop these people who are out to destroy the military from totally and absolutely annihilating it. That's my opinion. What's your opinion? WJR Detroit. Brad, welcome. You're up on the Savage Nation.
Welcome. Welcome to me. No, just thank you so much for what you do, Dr. Savage. It's outstanding to listen to your show finally here in Detroit.
That's a great city. I'm glad that you still exist, that you're not underground in a bunker as a result of the devastation of that city.
No, there's still plenty to fight the good fight. What really is bothering me in all manners of life anymore is the racism, true racism. The only way you get people to realize what you're saying is if you say reverse racism. But that insinuates that only one side is capable of racism when you say reverse. Like,
yeah, when this came up originally on the arguments of affirmative action back in the 70s, a friend of mine used the word reverse racism, and he was corrected and said there's no such thing as reverse racism, it's just racism. Period. That's what it is. So in other words, if a minority is using phrases such as white privilege, they're committing racism. If they're going to diversity training sessions and telling white people that the only way for them to correct the injustices of the past is for them to die, then those people need to be put in prison. And I could start such a movement because I'll tell you, I'm going to tell you a story about this one day. I don't have the strength for it right now. But please make your rest of your point. Go ahead, please.
It's just a continuation of it. It seems in no matter what you do, and whether your religion, if you're male versus female, it's just they no matter what, they try to make it like one side is always wrong and all other sides are right, and that hate only comes from one direction. And it's just overwhelming, it seems, at times, of such an uphill battle to try to get people to just listen or get to know you rather than assume they know your heart or another man's position by the way one just appears. And
that's right. Well, there's a lot of white anti-white racism raging in America right now for numerous reasons. And I can't go into it. It's too much for one man to handle in a few sound bites. I appreciate that. I truly do. I truly do. WBAP in Dallas. PJ, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I'll tell you why you're successful. You are the G.K. Chesterton of broadcasting. You're the prince of paradox. You don't run from the problems. You dance all over them. And you don't get...
I like that, dancing all over the problems. That's not a bad book title.
You know, yeah, he once said that it is terrible to contemplate how few politicians are hanged. That's a funny way of putting it.
Yeah, well, we can't say that on the radio. I'll leave that to G.K. D.K. Chesterton.
But that's what you just did in the previous 10 minutes in a long form, is you made fun of them and you danced all over them.
Well, that's the point. Here's the thing. In a time like this, when the politician is above the law, when they have become the untouchables of the age of Elliot Ness, and there is no Elliot Ness, there is no Justice Department to rein in the corruption, by and large, the last thing that we have left as a population is ridicule. That's the one thing we can deny them, is any form of respect. And by ridicule, I mean really scathing ridicule of them. That's the only power we have over them, because they own everything else. But they can't own our respect. And that's the last thing you should ever give them.
To laugh at them. We have.
The last thing they're worthy of is respect of any kind. Neil, we're on Rock and Roll Friday, so let's do a call, a song, please. I will pick it from my long list. Perhaps the Cordettes, To Know Him Is to Love Him, for all of those out there who love Michael Savage. I'm going to play a song to myself.
love him.
And I do.
And I do.
I think I was 14 when this song came out, and I wish that there were girls who loved me. I wish to God they all were singing this song when they looked at me. But unfortunately, it wasn't me. It was the football star. Where is that football star today? Probably in a walker or 6 feet under. I'll be right back.
Millions of stars and planets literally out there, and the universe is getting bigger. We know from our fancy telescopes that just in the last 2 years, more than 20 planets have been identified outside our solar system that seem to be far enough away from their suns and dense enough that they might be able to support some form of life. So it makes it increasingly less likely that we're alone.
Now, of course, what Bill Clinton was sort of getting at in that talk about life in the outer spheres is that it's an untapped reservoir of Democrat voters. He was implying in a certain way that if only Eric Holder could deputize him to travel to these outer galaxies and sign up all of these extraterrestrials, just think, there could be a Democrat socialist machine for the next millennia. Yeah, I mean, you talk about immigration reform. I mean, if it was up to Bill Clinton and Eric Holder, they'd bring in the aliens. Not just the illegal aliens from south of the border, but those from north, east, south, and west of the galaxy. Oh, Lord, what a world we live in. Well, this is what you get when you get a 20 share in radio. You get the Savage Nation. Each minute is less predictable than the one before it. And I don't quite know what I'm going to do in the next hour, but I'm not where I thought I would be at this point in the show today. Been up since 6 in the morning planning the show, and at the last minute I change gears. Whose side is God on now? Asks Pat Buchanan. And he defends Vladimir Putin.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
The very same people are advocating no regulation of clean air, clean water, food safety. all of those things that that are our responsibility to the American people.
Yep, it's the Savage Nation Friday edition, and the day would not be complete. Thank God Nancy spoke again this week. We're running dry on a background for the cuckoo clock, but sure enough, before the end of the day, we heard Ms. Pelosi's speech, and of course, we couldn't resist. This is Unscreened Friday, letters to the editor, so to speak. 855-407-2282 is the phone number. We're talking about bias in the ex-conservative media, such as websites that I mentioned who are no longer reputable because they distort the facts themselves. And will attack those of us who are simply their competitors, and they'll do it by twisting things like numbers. And I talked about Breitbart News no longer being reliable. In fact, they become an outright disgrace to the conservative media, in my opinion. I've said this before. I hinted at it. But when you see a site that's overrun with sleazy lawyers and would-be talk show hosts and see that they're behaving like jealous sorority girls with Botox on their brains, I ask you, who do you believe? Who do you believe if they spend their every day attacking Obama and attacking liberals and attacking the mainstream press, and then they engage in the same sort of tawdry behavior towards those of us who are truly conservative? How do you not see the Breitbart site as a discredited site? And to prove it, I mean, he tried to say my ratings weren't good in order to support their friend Wallbanger. It's a falsehood. I beat him in New York, Chicago, San Francisco, Dallas, and this came out an hour ago, and the streaming shows, those of you who listen online, I'm number one with a 20 share. Rush Limbaugh is a 13 share at number two. Then Glenn Beck is at number three with a 7 share, and then Laura Ingraham is at a 5.4, and Hannity is a number six at a 4.1. So it tells you that there's the times they are changing in the media, various aspects of the media, and in different mediums, there are different themes emerging. And I don't think that what existed in the media is going to exist 2 to 3 years from now. And I'm pretty sure radio is going to change so dramatically you won't even recognize it in less than 3 years. I don't know exactly how it's going to emerge, but something's happening to the audience, to the way they listen, who they believe in, and whether they want to believe in anyone at all anymore. Which leads us back to an article by Pat Buchanan, whose side has gone on now. And he takes the side of Putin. He says that basically Putin is defending Christianity and that Russia is on God's side and the West is Gomorrah. And of course, there are those of you who say, come on, Putin's the ex-KGB leader. He just wants to rebuild the Soviet Union with slave labor camps. That all may be true. I don't know. But to compare Putin to Hitler was a big mistake on the part of Hillary. She should never, ever be forgiven for that. At a time when things were so tenuous, to call Putin Hitler was not helpful. It just shows you how extremist she is and how dangerous she would be as a president. I mean, I don't know what to say to you. But to call him a KGB thug, calling him, as the Wall Street Journal did, the alleged thief, liar, and murderer who rules Russia, as done by the Wall Street Journal, is insanity at a time like this. So you have to understand that Putin may not be all as evil as you think. He certainly isn't as good as Buchanan may think. But Putin, he says, is entering a claim that Moscow is the godly city of today and the command post of the Counter-Reformation against the new paganism. And he goes on to say that there's a worldwide revulsion of and resistance to the sewage of a hedonistic secular and social revolution coming out of the West. Now, how often have I called it the sewer pipe of Hollywood, disseminated by Katzenberg, Katzenberg, Matzenberg, and Ratzenberg? You know I've said that. The sewer pipe of Hollywood has literally destroyed and polluted the entire mind of the world. There's a reason that they're hated. He doesn't write that. I'm just telling you what I've said. But he goes on, and he talks about the culture war for the future of mankind, and that Putin, he believes, is planting Russia's flag firmly on the side of traditional Christianity. Now, some of you will find that absurd, but others may understand what he's getting at. And then he refers to John Paul II, whose Evangelium Vitae in 1995 excoriated the West for its embrace of a culture of death. And he asks, what did Pope John Paul mean by moral crimes? You'll notice the new pope is the antithesis almost of Pope John Paul II. The new pope is a product of the Marxism of South America that existed down there in the 70s. He is the antithesis of John Paul II. This new pope seems to be on the side of the culture warriors. But he says the West's capitulation to a sexual revolution of easy divorce, rampant promiscuity, pornography, homosexuality, feminism, abortion, same-sex marriage, euthanasia, assisted suicide, the displacement of Christian values by Hollywood values, that's what he means by moral crimes. And so here we are at this stage where Russia is remaking itself as sort of the leader of the anti-Western world. And in fact, he may be the leader of the Western world, Western civilization. I would say that Putin may be seen as a new Constantinople, by the way. I don't know that Buchanan wrote that. I don't think it's in his article. But as the world was falling apart, Constantine tried to save the Christian world hundreds and hundreds of years ago, and he almost did. And Alan Carlson writes, while the other superpowers march to a pagan worldview, Russia is defending Judeo-Christian values. During the Soviet era, he writes, Western communists flocked to Moscow. This year, World Congress of Family 7 will be held in Moscow, September 10th to 12th. You hear this? And he says, in the new ideological Cold War, whose side is God on now? That's an interesting article. And it's certainly food for thought, to be frank. And we're talking about the fact that today is Unscreen Friday on the Savage Nation. We got great callers. The phone number, there's no point in giving you because you can't get on because we're sold out. Let's go to the callers. Let's go to New York City. Let's take Joe on line one from WABC. Joe, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hello, Michael. I want to talk about Einstein and something he said that's connected to the way you do your program. But since you mentioned Putin, Putin did make a peace with the Orthodox church in Russia, and that was about 6 to 8, 10 years ago.
Interesting.
So they're not anti-religion. He's very pro-religion.
And in that sense, he's not the same as the ex-Soviet Union. He's evolved. He's not the same old KGB chief that people like to, let us say, smear him as being.
Right. It's not the opiate of the people anymore. He's totally embraced it. Very strongly, so I agree with what you said. But imagination, Einstein said, imagination is greater than knowledge, and knowledge is limited, but if you have imagination, you can encircle the world. So imagination encircles the world, and that's what you do. When I hear you, I hear your imagination, your ideas coming across. You don't read a script. You don't see cue cards. And you're creative. It comes across, and that's very powerful. That's what politicians, good leaders, should have, and they don't have. When I hear a Christie or anyone else, a John Boehner, they're just talking from the intellect. They're not talking from their soul. The soul should use the intellect to prosper, for the body to prosper. It doesn't do that. You do it. It comes across.
That's and really you're winning. Well, no, the way you put it is, of course, I'm going to say thank you. I mean, it's complimentary. But a couple of weeks ago, I did a whole story on, and I'm looking for it here, Savage Audio, What's Missing in Today's World is Soul. I did it on the show 2 weeks ago, What's Missing in Today's World. Remember in the 60s, musicians would be judged on their soul. They'd say, that guy has real soul. Remember that?
Absolutely.
And when have you last heard the word soul used by any artist today? I haven't heard it used at all.
Yeah. But you're using your soul. The soul is a priori. It's there first. Einstein became religious when he went to Hubble in 1929, and Hubble showed him that the universe is expanding, so that the universe is finite, and therefore you need an infinite God that created it, the primal mover, the first cause, as Thomas Aquinas said. So you know that. When I hear you, I know we're on the same wavelength of understanding that.
Well, you know, you're saying something intriguing, and yet at the same time that you're saying that, what's coming back to me is Bill Clinton's soundbite from the last hour, where all of a sudden Bill Clinton's talking about universes beyond ours with planets that may have life on it. What was Bill Clinton getting at? What do you think he was telling us this for? Because there's nothing that Bill Clinton says that isn't political. What was he implying?
Well, first of all, Michael, you're a trained scientist, so am I. I teach chemistry.
I thought you were in the sciences. You spoke like you know the difference between let us say, hydrogen sulfide and sulfuric acid?
I teach college chemistry for 32 years and been teaching for 40 years. So I'm in
I would think you know the difference. I think you know the difference between swamp gas and popcorn butter. So, but what do you think Bill Clinton was getting at, saying there are other universes with life on other planets?
I think he's getting to the point that the universe is expanding and has some finite, but I don't think he was going anywhere. I don't really think he's that knowledgeable about science. He doesn't understand.
What I think it was, he had a good date the night before with a girl who told him that.
Yeah.
That's what it sounded like to me. He was up late with some young, you know, a new Monica, and she put this in his head like they were together, and she started giving him a chinic after the big O about the universe and this and that. The next day, all of a sudden, he's giving a speech on it.
Michael, his mind was just wandering. You can't get to Alpha Centauri in 4 light years. I mean, it's ridiculous even to think that there's another Earth. It's impossible. There's a
you know, this is so important to me, the idea of light years away. I remember when I was teaching seventh grade science, and that was a long time ago, I tried to explain to seventh graders what light years away means. And the way I put it was, and tell me if this makes sense to you, I said, okay, it takes 4.3 years for light on that object, that planet, to that object in space to reach us. The kids don't know what that means. I said, that means, let's say, John, stand up in the classroom and have a kid stand up. I'll say, if someone on that planet was looking into this classroom from that place in space, your standing up right now would not reach him until 4.3 years from now, or 4.3 million years from now. So that means you'd be alive forever. It blew the kids' minds without any drugs. Is that a good explanation?
Yeah, absolutely. And when you look into the night sky, you see points of light that are heterogeneously, not homogeneous.
It's okay. Listen, that happens to me sometimes with words, and I change the word, so just change the word.
Heterogeneity. There's an uneven distribution of those stars which are suns and planets, so it's not even. And that's another indication that the universe is finite, because it's also dark at night. If it was a infinite universe, there would be no need for God. And if the universe was infinite, there would be no darkness at night. That was called Hoebler's paradox. He was an astronomer. But
I don't truly understand that, to be honest with you, Joe. In so many ways, I'm ignorant of those. Those advanced concepts of space science, I don't truly understand them, and I'll tell you why. I am so firmly enmeshed in my life on Earth, and I so live in the here and now. I learned many years ago to live in the here and now so strongly that I rarely live in any other world.
Right. Well, I think that's the way to live. I mean, that's the now, to be to live in the present. And not to live in the future or in the past. That's exactly right. And that's
so I am the ultimate 60s hippie in that regard, because I live in the here and now.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of...
I mean, I was taught to live and be here now. I mean, the gurus all said be here now. So I'm living be here now, and they're living in another world. They want this idealistic sort of socialistic utopian world that will never exist. So tell me who's correct, me or them?
Well, you are. That's what Bill Clinton was aiming at. I mean, he's up there in the clouds somewhere. You know, he's not...
But why would Bill Clinton all of a sudden talk about galaxies and planets and other life forms? Unless, you know, it's the kind of thing a guy does the next day after you know what.
Well, I like what you said about getting more aliens. I mean,
there you go. If you can bring them all in from Mexico and China to vote Democrat, why not bring them in from an outlying galaxy?
But to expand, exactly.
That's an expanding universe of Democrat voters. How else could Obama stay in power for another 100 years? All right, Joe, thanks so much for talking about imagination. I think there was a song by the Beatles called Imagine, wasn't there? Of course there was. I don't know what it's like, but it broke through the other side. Well, if you care to break on through to the other side, wait for the ads to run and come back with me on the other side, right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from. SwissAmerica.com.
The results, I think, were shocking.
The report exposes brutality that stands in stark contrast to our values as a nation. It chronicles a stain on our history that must never be allowed to happen again. This is not what Americans do.
Now, that's Senator Dianne Feinstein, and she is not, I repeat, not speaking about her own activities, but she is allegedly attacking the CIA once again for keeping America safe from the Islamo-fascists who would set off a nuclear bomb in Times Square if they were not stopped. And let me tell you something else. Nobody likes the idea of torture. But if it's a matter of 30 seconds and you tell us where it is, torturing him, or not torturing him, having a bomb go off, let me ask you who's right, Dianne Feinstein or those who are torturing? I mean, it's that simple. What is she talking up there in like a test tube? She has a vendetta against the CIA because they're onto something. She's going after the CIA because they're onto her. That's what I think, and there's a war going on. She is one of the most powerful, wealthiest women on the planet, but it's not enough for her. It's not enough for her, the former mayor of San Francisco, that she winds up chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, and that's not enough for her. Now she has to have power over the CIA. It's not enough that they have enough trouble of their own. So she has to now rip them every day. They don't have their own troubles trying to do their job. Let's go to Bob on WJ. I can't go to Bob, but he's in Tennessee. I have 20 seconds. I can't go to him. We got a hitter already. That's all. 855-407-282. It's the Savage Nation, the one and only. Get it while you can. Get it while you can. If you care to talk to me and millions of others, dial 855-407-282. And you might get to speak to more people than you meet for the rest of your life. Unscreened Friday, letters to the editor, right here. On the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is 34 minutes after the hour across the universe. Perhaps not in Bill Clinton's extraterrestrial areas, but on this planet it's 34 minutes after the hour. I can't believe that Bill Clinton statement, Neil. Could you play it again? Because people don't believe he said that. Wait, this is so out of... this is so not Bill Clinton. I don't even know why he would say it. Because everything that Bill Clinton does is political. We know that. So why do you think he talked about other planets and life on other planets? If we have that ready, it's a very odd one. Let's listen to
universe, we know that there are billions of stars and planets literally out there. And the universe is getting bigger. We know from our fancy telescopes that just in the last 2 years, more than 20 planets have been identified outside our solar system that seem to be far enough away from their suns and dense enough that they might be able to support some form of life. So it makes it increasingly less likely that we're alone.
I don't know. Maybe he's implying something, and I don't know what it might be. You can read anything you want into it, but he's a very political man, obviously. I mean, maybe he's suggesting that these are areas that Michelle Obama hasn't traveled to yet, these other planets and these other places. I mean, she's visited everywhere else on Earth. But look, I mean, there are other galaxies she hasn't gone to yet at your expense, and there's only a few more years left, so maybe that's what he's implying. I don't really know what he means. Bring them in, and they vote Democrat, whatever. That's an obvious one. Letterman's retirement. Guy's a bomb. His ratings are in the toilet. Jimmy Fallon has been trouncing Letterman's old man late show, and that's why he's retiring. No other reason. Good luck to him. He's had a good run. He's made tens of millions of dollars. How much do they need? They always need more because the guy has a bigger boat. I don't even think he has a boat. When you think about it. Let's say he has a 165-foot yacht. So the guy next to him has a 210-foot yacht. Then the next guy has a 285-foot Fed ship, which is the old model for his girlfriend. The new one is 410 feet. And then that guy feels emasculated because Abramovich comes in from Russia with a 525-foot yacht. And all of a sudden he feels like he's been emasculated and there's no amount of Viagra on Earth to make his boat any bigger. So there's no end to this thing of the pecking order with regard to wealth. And that's the same thing with ratings. I mean, come on, David. You've done very well for yourself. Retire already. Move down to Boca. March around. It's the way of all flesh. It's the elephant burial grounds. They killed that chupacabra, by the way, that weird animal. Did you hear about the chupacabra in Texas? Texas captors just euthanized what they claim was the mythical beast they kept in the backyard cage. The hairless creature captured by a Texas family and thought to be the infamous blood-sucking chupacabra has been euthanized. Well, that's the Texas way. The captors, Jackie Stock and her husband, Arlen Palmer, it sounds like an Italian dish, made the tough decision to put the alleged chupacabra or whatever it was out of its misery. In other words, if you find something unusual in Texas, what you do is you cage it, you have fun with it, you poke it with sticks, and then you euthanize it. You just to be sure. Now, the New York way is to immediately call it a victim, give it a free apartment, a free house, a free cell phone, and register it as a Democrat. So there's two there's two different ways to look at anything unusual in the world. You know what I'm saying? Oh, God. Oh, my God. What a world we're living in. To think people are suffering. Animals are dying as I speak. So to fill your dinner table tonight. 855-407-282. Let's go to some calls. Bob in Tennessee on WJCW. Bob, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Michael, I am a new listener. You replaced Hannity on our local station here. I've heard of you, but never had the opportunity to listen to you. Probably 7-8 years ago, and it was negative attack things that I heard about you, so I immediately knew that you must be good. And when I heard you were coming on the air here, I had to make a point of taking in a show. I'm very happy to hear what I'm hearing. I've been a talk show listener for over 30 years, and I stress listener because the audience is usually split between listeners and callers. So you prompted my first call.
In 30 years? Okay, so what provoked that? What question? What comment?
The actual first show I listened to was on your, coincidentally, your anniversary show. And it was just the general flow of the show, your comments, the demeanor, everything. Your straightforwardness, and, of course, needless to say, your viewpoint on what's happening in the world today. And if I do have a question to ask, and I'd like to hear your opinion, I haven't been this way up until recently, but I'm reaching the point where I'm thinking that this country's reached the tipping point, and basically we, meaning the more conservative element and traditional element of the country, have lost.
So what is your question or comment?
Well, my question is, do you agree with that? Do you think it's over, or do you think there's a chance to overcome the situation we're in with the left wing being supported, 75% of the media, which basically steers.
Well, I'm an eternal optimist. At the end of the day, as depressed as I may sound, some of the days, I remain hopeful, and I believe in miracles. Let me put it to you that way. And I believe God sees the truth but waits. I still think there's going to be a godly event that's going to save America. That's how childish I may be. At the core of it, I believe in miracles, and I believe that God will save this country from the illegitimate left. And I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I think it will happen. And it may come at the last minute, just when we think it's all over. I never give up hope. Hope springs eternal. Never forget that. Many, many years ago, I was down on my luck. Things weren't working out. I didn't know which way to turn. Because of affirmative action, they wouldn't hire me as a white male, even though I had 50 times the qualifications, 1,000 times the IQ of those they were hiring. I had a young family. I didn't know what to do. I got out a camera, and I walked around the city, and I started taking pictures of street weeds. I swear to God, I took pictures of weeds growing out of the cracks in pavement, and I wrote a little essay called Tenacity. And that was one of the things I did when I was feeling hopeless. Because at the end of the day, life goes on. Life goes on. And there's always hope that somehow the seed of the Liberty Tree will grow and pop through the pavement that the sewer pipe of Hollywood has pumped into all of our houses. Somehow there's going to be a cleanup. The hazardous waste that comes out of the mines of Katzenberg, Matzenberg, and Spielberg, that hazardous waste, which has become cement in the minds of the world, may just have the seeds of hope somewhere embedded within them. You never know what's in that cement. You never know. It's that simple. I'm not hopeless at all. I'm forever hopeful. Otherwise, you can't go on. I mean, look at the worst thing that's ever happened to humanity. Take a look at some of the worst events. I don't mean an earthquake where people died. There's nothing you can do about that. Let's say imprison the entire population of people based on their race, the Jewish people, for example, during the Holocaust. Even in the death camps, do you know that people had children? Do you know that they bore children and hid the babies from the Nazis? Did you know that? That they wouldn't have bought them saying, it's hopeless, we're going to die, so why bring the baby into this horrible world? What does that tell you, for God's sakes? It tells you that God wants you to live and God wants America to live and God has hope for this country. That's what it tells you. No, I'm not giving up just because the illegitimate slime seems to be everywhere and seems to have conquered everything decent about this country. I'm not giving up. Why should you give up? Why give up hope? Just because Boehner is the walking dead? Just because Cantor is the next to the altar, the vice chair of the walking dead? Just because Ryan is the altar boy of the walking dead? No, they're the hosts of the big lie. That doesn't mean that there isn't hope. There is. Where it is, I don't know. I don't have a name to attach to it. That's all. All I have is my own soul to deal with every day. So I wake up every day and I say, I have to be creative. I have to come up with something they're going to listen to. I have an audience of millions of people. They hang on my every word. What am I going to give them that they really want to hear? How many days can I get up here and be a clown and keep your attention? You can't do it. It's a big act. It's a tough thing to do every day. And many are cracking from it. Even let's deal with talk radio. Many people are cracking up at talk radio. You can hear it in their voices. I hear it. I listen. I hear people's voices in a whole different range. They sound like animals that are having their private parts squeezed by an outside force. The voices are in a higher range, like almost a high-pitched whine, like they can't take another day of it. I don't feel that way, and when I do, I don't go on the air. I'll tell you that right now, which you'll notice I've taken 3 days off in the last 3 months. I have been on the radio more consistently since I started in this time slot from January 1st. The 90 days, like longer than any time in my whole 20-year career. Ask Neil, who works with me. He said, I've never seen anyone of any age work like you. Any age. I've never saw anything like it. He said, nobody knows how you do it. Where do you get the energy from? I do it. I just do it, period. End of story. That means you can do it. If I can get up and do it, and I can still believe in America, and I can still believe that evil will be overcome, then you can still believe it. It's that simple. And that's how I feel. Monica on WABC, thanks for calling. What's on your mind, Monica?
Oh, my dear Dr. Savage, you are unreal. You are a touchstone for America, for your America, and Americans. And I am just blown away. You hit me in the solar plexus. And I don't know if you would call that the soul. But, you know, it's so definite when it hits you in the solar plexus.
No, what is it you're saying I hit you with? When? What hit you? What struck?
Plexus. Everything about you. The minute I heard your voice, I called and called you and have spoken to you. But you.
No, I get it. I have a way of connecting with people, and I'm starting to think that it's bigger than radio. I don't know what it is.
Oh,
there's something else. There's something else calling me now, and I don't know what it is. Now, don't think I'm negating radio. I love this medium, but I've done it for 20 years, and I'm starting to think I have this gift to connect with people. Is it simply to entertain them, write books, etc.? What am I here for?
What am I here for?
I keep asking myself, is there something else that I should be doing?
Believe me, you're here for us. I cannot listen to any talk show anymore except you.
Well, I don't want to hear that. I mean, it's a 24-hour day. There's room for everybody. You know, so the thing is, you can't just say, I can't wait for Savage to go on the air, because then there's other people to listen to. I mean, you have all sorts of other hosts, so everyone does it their own way. But I'm saying is, now they're laughing, the guys are laughing on the other side of the Skype. They're waiting for me to go on the attack. I won't do it. They wanted a little dig. I won't do it. I won't throw any verbal H-bombs at anybody. Not even a little bit. I will not do it. I don't need to attack anybody. See, that was when I was on the outside looking in, and I was struggling to become Supreme Commander of the Allied Forces. Now that I'm the Supreme Commander of the Allied Forces of Conservative Radio, there's no reason for me to start attacking captains and lieutenants and sergeants and privates. So those days are over. They can attack me now. It's their turn. Anyway, let's move on. Let's move on. It's been a good day for me. I will savor the fact that my show is number one on the streaming medium. Many of you are listening on the stations that I'm on, which is where you should listen to me. But there's another world of listeners that listen on the on their iPhones and on the Internet. And on that, I'm number one with a 20 share. Rush is number two with a 13 share. This is a big deal. Glenn Beck is three with a 7 share. And then Laura Ingraham and then Sean Hannity is number six with a 4 share. I didn't make the numbers up. They're there. They're there. And there's some very good hosts on the list. Very good hosts, and they're down on the list. Doesn't mean they're bad. It's just what it is. I've been at it for 20 years, and it says Michael Savage is ranked number one for the first quarter of 2014 unopposed. The Savage Nation annexes Afternoon Drive, winning new listeners and justly reclaiming a top streaming talker spot. Look, this could change in the next book. It's what it is. It's up and down. When I first began a radio, I was told by a program director, he said, well, if you ever get a 5 share, I'll pay you a certain amount of money a year. Because it was so beyond anything I could ever believe. He said, if you ever got a 10 share, he said, nobody could ever get a 10 share in radio, on terrestrial radio. I said, why? He said, because that's the whole universe of talk radio listeners. Nobody can get all the listeners listening to that show by itself. And then I understood it. And he said, pay no attention to the ratings anyway, by and large. He said, because they go up and they go down. You'll see, you'll go up, you'll go down. You'll gain stations, you'll lose stations. It's the name of the business. So I'm just saying, look, I'm just saying, that's all. Teddy is better, by the way. Those of you who are Teddy fans, he's my poodle. I cured him with very special herbs and supplements. That is, I went to McDonald's, and I didn't know what was wrong with him, but I know one thing about dogs is they eat, and they eat, and they eat. And I know he didn't want to eat, and he was listless, and he wouldn't jump off the bed, and he wasn't spunky anymore. I said, okay, let me try the one thing they're telling me not to do, which is I know he loves cheese. So I got out the old string cheese. He looked up, his eyes lit up, and he ate it. I said, get in the car, buddy. I picked him up, put him in the car, put his coat on him, kept him warm, gave him a big hug. I took him to McDonald's. I got him the two junior burgers, no salt and pepper, the cheese, cut it up in the dry parking lot. I fed it to him by hand. The next day, snapped back. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation live across America. And we're rolling into a whole new quarter of the radio universe, which began on April 1st and runs April, May, and June. We're coming into a whole new phase of talk, moving up into the midterm elections in November. My new book's coming out in October, Stop the Coming Civil War. You'll hear more about that, I would say, starting in July or August, if you're interested in it. Not ready to look at yet. Serious times, serious election, perhaps the last election that matters this November. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hot Talk 560, KSFO. KSFO.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, I'm not bragging, babe, so don't put me down. But I've got the fastest set of wheels.
It is a little white bread music on The Savage Nation for hour number three. Favorite group of George Bush, Beach Boys. Yeah, God, I wish Bush was back in power. I mean, at least we knew where he was born. At least we knew which Air Force he flew for. I mean, that's... At least we knew which state he flew for in the National Guard. So here we are in hour number three on this beautiful Friday. Join the fight. Be part of our winning team on the Savage Nation. Continuing the ratings war by dominating my competitor in four of the five top markets. And now coming out as number one in the streaming radio market with a 20 share. With the old Rush at a 13 share. It could be different next book. Could change next time. You know, things change. I could get tired. He could get stronger. I could get sicker. He could get stronger. I can get stronger. He can get weaker. But things go up. Things go down. The issue is the politics, the humor, the entertainment. Now, for those of you who think that I feed Teddy McDonald's burgers on a regular basis, I have to correct your mistake. He was sick for 4 days, for God's sakes. I raised children. I've been sick myself in my life, and I know one rule. There's one rule if I know about illness. And you know what the rule is? If you have an appetite at all, eat any damn thing that you want. Don't go to a book on what to eat when you're sick. If you, let's say you've been sick and you lost your appetite, and you get an appetite back, whatever it is you're craving, eat it. Your body's screaming out for it. So my dog was sick. He was listless, wouldn't jump down off the bed. I had to carry him down. I figured, and I've been having dreams about him. Losing him. I told you that now for weeks. I wake up and I'm freaked out that he's gone. I can't find him. So I said, this is awful. I don't want to lose this dog right now. I'm not ready for it. And I got, you know, I'm spooked out by it. So I pick him up and I would talk to him and I'd tell him, don't feel bad. You're my senior, you know, friend. You're my best friend. No sparkle in the eye, like talking to an inanimate creature. Normally spunky. So I said, oh, not good. Then after a couple of days, I tested him. I said, Teddy, you want some cheese? The eyes lit up a little bit. His favorite food. I gave him some not provolone, I gave him string cheese. So I said, that's it, I'm going to McDonald's. I put the coat on him, threw him in the car, drove to McDonald's, drove up. I said, Lavos Los Manos, how are you today? And they said, what is your order, please? I said, have you Lavos Los Manos? I would like 2 junior cheeseburgers. Eric's laughing. No salt and they're nice kids. No salt and pepper. And you know what? You can laugh all you want at me. I'm one of the few people on the earth who leave them a tip when I pull up to the thing. I love those kids. They're the nicest kids in the world. They're working their hearts out for minimum wage. I remember what it was like to be a minimum wage worker. I've been a busboy. I've been a poet, a pop at a corner, a pepper at a corn. How's that song go? I've been a poet, a pepper, a popper, a pepper and corn. A Frank Sinatra song. So I tip. My son taught me that. He taught me to tip minimum wage workers. I gave the girl a dollar. She said, you know, muchas gracias. It's a pleasure, by the way. I gave the dog the burgers, and he became better. I don't say that's what did it, but maybe he was turning around already. I got his appetite back, and now he's looking good. I hope it sticks, you know, that's all. But normally he doesn't eat that, is what I'm saying. I feed him the regular kibble, the hippie kibble, you know, born and raised in the USA, raised by Harvard's trained scientists. Who makes certain that every grain in the kibble comes from a certain gerbil that was raised with a PhD diet itself. And every gerbil that was ground up in those chips was a happy gerbil and a smart gerbil and a conservative gerbil. And all of those ground up fish in there or whatever and chicken, God knows, in the gerbils, I mix with a chicken breast and some carrots. And he eats that every day, that's all. That's the whole thing. And then he gets one treat at night, big deal, he lives for it. You hear? I should deny him the one thing he wants in life at night? I should be so simple. I wish I could be happy enough to jump 16 feet in the air for a treat. Imagine if that's all I wanted at the end of a work day. That's why I say he wants a certain treat. I'm not going to mention it because they're not advertisers. I mentioned it. He dies for it. At the end of the day, when I have a vitamin, he looks at me like in the top of the closet. I keep me in like, hey, up there with the eyes. Like they give you the eye. The dog does the eye, right? It's like, they move the head. They don't even bark. Nothing. It's like sounds like. It's like talking to a person who's like using sign language dogs. So he looks at me like the eyes like, All right, so say, that's all he wants? Come on, give it to him. I give it to him, he's content. Then we lay down and watch a movie, and before long I'm having the nightmares, and it's dream time. 4 nightmares later, and it's dawn, and I'm back here in the morning at the internet, ready for radio. Just 4 to 5 nightmares a night. It's like a plane ride. Let's say I'm going to fly across the country. which I'm going to do next week. I'm finally going to go to Florida again. So I'm adding it up. I hate flying. So like five, I'm already looking at the reservation. Five, I count the minutes before I get on the plane 2 weeks before. It's like 5 hours and 26 minutes to me. Every minute is torture for me on an airplane. I hate it. So I say, okay, that's not bad. Let's see. The first hour I'm getting ready for lunch. Not bad. You like time it in your head. Meanwhile, you're like a prisoner in the first hour. The second hour, you can get a drink, okay. The food comes in hour number four, some disappointing food. And then before long, there's only two more torturous hours to go. And if you're lucky, you're on a Malaysian airline, and the flight is endless. It's endless fun. You don't know where it's going to end up. Where is that plane? How could we live in a world where they know where your cell phones are? They can track you. They could track anybody. They have chips and animal in cows now on farms. How could the plane disappear? This is one of the most perplexing problems of our life. No, really, we could take tragedy, hurricanes, tornadoes, war, disease, cancer. We could take it. It's the unknown that people can't live with. How in the world could a plane disappear from the planet and nobody knows where it is? Maybe that's what Bill Clinton was getting at when he was talking about other galaxies that we don't even know. He may know something we don't know, but I don't know. Or he was implying that there are places that Michelle Obama has not yet visited with on the public dime. You know, this far-out galaxy she can still go to. There's 3 years left. She's back. I have spring break. Well, there's summer to plan now. I mean, in addition to Martha's Vineyard, there's a few, I guarantee, there's a few trips in between, in addition to cooking classes on good food for all of us. No, you got to, the peripatetic first lady, you got to give her a hand. I mean, the woman likes to travel. What would you like to talk about in the Savage Nation? I got some callers. There's one good one my eyes caught before they went blurry already. Zach on WBAP in Dallas. Zach, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Doc Savage, hi.
Hi. What's on your mind?
Well, about Bill Clinton, maybe he decided to inhale. Who knows?
I don't know. No, I know what you're saying. It sounded to me like he was coming off a high because for him to start talking about outer galaxies and life on other planets, I mean, I'd like to know what party he was at the night before.
Well, you said earlier maybe there was a junior Monica Lewinsky there, so
I don't. Yeah, usually it runs that way. A young, you know, and they give you the, in order to cover up their shame, they start lecturing you on something intellectual.
Well, maybe he wants to send them money if we do find life on another planet. Who knows?
Well, if we find life on other planets, as I say, they can immediately be signed up as Democrats and be put on welfare.
Absolutely.
Send them an iPhone, give them a government car like a Chevy Volt in outer space, and boom, you have an interplanetary Democrat. What more do you need? That's a nice name for a rock and roll group, the Interplanetary Democrat. Oh, my God. It's the weekend coming up. Can you believe this? What am I going to do now for 72 hours till the show starts again on Monday? It's a nightmare. It's like a black hole. A nightmare. I don't know what to do. It's like the whole weekend is a nightmare for me. You think about it. I actually love the stress of the show. It organizes my whole day. But like, okay, the show's over. Great. It's the weekend. Wow. Now I can fight drinking too much and eating too much. And other things that I shouldn't be doing. I mean, that's all weekend long. I don't have any hobbies like a normal man. I don't golf. I don't play tennis. I don't swim. I don't snorkel, I don't hike, I don't fly. All I do is worry. I think about the world day and night. Well, no, I'm joking. I have a new book I have to go through for 72 hours till I'm blind. It's finally back in my hands after some editing. Oh, my God, 500 pages. That should be fun till Monday morning. Oh, I don't know. I hope it rains all weekend. I love rainy weekends. I miss the East Coast weather with the snow and the blizzards, being in a house with howling wind outside. You know, like Sergeant Preston. My father's like Sergeant Preston to me. He would like go to work in the snow and the rain and the sleet. I'd be home listening to the hissing radiator, looking out of the window, and I'd frost it over, wipe it down, hear the bus rumbling out on the street on Utopia Parkway, shaking my... Imagine that I lived next to a bus line, and the buses were so heavy that they shook the pavement. It was asphalt, and the house shook, and the window pane rattled. My brick house actually shook from a bus. Would you believe it? I miss that. I mean, right now I can't sleep unless it's dead quiet. I wake up if a neighbor sneezes. I am the lightest sleeper on the planet. I'm going to look into some real estate where Bill Clinton was talking about today. It might be real quiet out there. You want to be stabilized. Let me tell you how to stabilize. Let's say you don't like people. Let's say you're just a misanthrope, a miserable son of a gun. You just hate people. You can't stand anybody. You don't want to be around them. I can't stand. Here's what you do to stop that thinking. Let's say you're in a place, oh, I can't stand her. I don't like the way he looks. Look at her. Look at that one. Look at this one. Imagine the world without any people on it but you. That may help you. Imagine being in the place you're in with all those people you don't like, and they're suddenly gone, and all there is that space. Let's say it's an airport terminal, and you hate everyone around you. You wish you were the only one there, right? Now picture the airport terminal, and the pizza is steaming. The bar bottles are there, but there's nobody there. Nobody but you. Is that the world you want to live in? Because God can put you there. And that straightens me out, and then suddenly I embrace humanity again and say, hey, buddy, how are you? Can I buy you a drink? No, I don't do it. I go to the other extreme. But see, you got to understand that God's given you a gift in that sense, is that you got people around you and you're part of life. And when there's nobody around you, it means you're dead. And on that beautiful note, I'll take a quick break right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. This is a great week for me, brother. My birthday and then this, rank number one at 20 share. I can't get over it. It'll be up on my website. No other website will touch it because they want to pretend that I'm still a marginal player. And they can't. I mean, the world's changed under their feet. You know, there used to be an adage in alternative medicine. I was an early worker, pioneer in alternative medicine, meaning herbal medicine, nutritional medicine, homeopathy, etc. I have a real doctorate from a great university, University of California, and I've written many books, but I worked in the side areas of medicine, in the sense of medical sciences that were not accepted. And many of the things that we were talking about going back to the 1960s in herbal medicine, in nutrition, which were considered marginal and crackpottish, are now mainstream. They've been mainstreamed by medicine. And it's the same in talk radio, by the way. Many of my ideas, which are considered outlandish by the, let us say, standard guard, the standard bearers of the society, will eventually become accepted as the norm, and I don't know when that will be. Now, whether you are a Tory or a Whig doesn't matter to me. You see, you may be a Whig or you may be a Tory, and you may not know that there is a difference between a Whig and a Tory. Today, there's an interesting article in Mother Jones where it says Thomas Jefferson was a smart dude. And in one of his letters to John Adams, dated June 27, 1813, Jefferson made an observation about the nature of politics that science is only now, two centuries later, beginning to confirm. Quote, listen carefully. The same political parties which now agitate the United States have existed through all time, wrote Thomas Jefferson, and this is in 1813. The terms of Whig and Tory belong to natural as well as to civil history, he later added. They denote the temper and constitution of mind of different individuals. Now, Tories were the British conservatives of Jefferson's day, and Whigs, W-H-I-G-S, were the British liberals. And so what he was saying then, and which is true today, is whether you call yourself a liberal or a conservative, or they call themselves a Whig or a Tory, had as much to do with a person's psychology or innate disposition as it had to do with their ideas. Did you know that? And there's something pretty fundamental and basic about liberals and conservatives then and now and for all time. And you'll find it in all societies, which I think is very interesting. Now, one of the things that I specialize in on the Savage Nation, that people who hate my politics but love my stories, are my stories. So I have a little list of them here. The first is Louis the Alcoholic, who taught Savage how to bend nails with his bare hands when he was 11. And then, of course, the cultural phenomenon of crack pants, compared with my... I had a pair of pants, I had blue suede shoes, and I had pants, saddle-stitched pants. The story of the saddle-stitched pants, I never forget as long as I live. I went to junior high school. I was rather young and on the small side. I entered the school young. I skipped the grade, and there were kids in that school who were like a foot taller, 50 pounds heavier, and mean as a snake. So here's this little kid showing up in these snaggy pants, and I got into a scuffle, and I ripped the pants at the knee. I didn't get beaten up, but my pants got ripped. And I remember going home and trying to hide the ripped knee on the pants because they were very expensive. They must have cost $11 at the time. They were expensive, you know. I didn't want my mother to see it because I was afraid she'd be heartbroken. So I hid the pants. I don't know how I hid them. I don't know. I walked in sideways, I think, into the house. Hey, Ma! Nevertheless, I'm standing talking to her sideways, and she keeps walking around to the front, and no matter which way she turned, I'm moving to the side so she never saw my face because then she'd see the ripped knee. Finally, we went in a full circle. She said, "What's wrong with you today? Why are you spinning in a circle?" I said, "No, no reason. I always talk to you this way with a cup of cocoa in my hand." Nevertheless, she finally saw the rip in my knee on those expensive $11 pants. They were saddle-stitched pants. Remember, they were very popular at the time. And I didn't know what to do. And she says, "Oh, God." She said, "Well, don't worry about it." And she called up my aunt, who came over. They had a conversation at the kitchen table. At that point, I went upstairs and put on the dead man's pants that I could go play in. And they analyzed the pants on the table as they moved around eating some kind of coffee cake and drinking coffee. They sifted the crumbs on the table, as women would do in those days. Oilcloth table, whatever, like a plastic tablecloth. Imagine a woman in a fancy neighborhood having a tablecloth like that today. Not sufficiently sophisticated, huh? But they worked. I mean, you could spill things on them and wipe it right up. They sifted the crumbs, and by the time the crumbs were sifted, they came up with a solution to my ripped pants. And they called me in and they said, "Michael, don't worry. We're going to send the pants out and have them weaved." Weaved. I didn't know what weaved meant, but the world became a perfect place for me.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. An Arkansas mother was disturbed to learn her sixth grade daughter's homework was to prune two amendments of the Bill of Rights and add two amendments to the Bill of Rights. And this homework was part of the controversial Common Core curriculum. And the lesson said that the Bill of Rights is outdated and may not remain in its current form any longer. So the sixth grade kids were asked to amend the Constitution and eliminate two of the Bill of Rights and add two new ones. I think it's an interesting question, by the way, because although Bill of Rights and constitutional absolutists will say, no, you shouldn't even discuss it, you're wrong. Because I can apply the very same question to the Ten Commandments, and I can say to you, which of these Ten Commandments are outdated and should be eliminated, and which new Ten Commandments would you add? What is wrong with discussing them? I didn't say you should remove amendments, did I? I didn't say you should add two amendments, did I? I said, which would you remove, and why? And which would you add, and why, in this modern age? I think it's a very good idea. And just because it's part of the Common Core curriculum doesn't mean it's wrong. You understand that? I don't understand why everything the opposition does has to be wrong. I mean, sometimes, look, even a stopwatch is right twice a day, as they say. Okay, you get it? What are the Bill of Rights? Okay, let's make it easy. Number one, as you well know, is Congress should make no law establishing a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So the libs would say, well, no, you can't have a theocracy. We agree. The only theocracy they seem to love are Islamic theocracies. They're in love with those for some reason. Can't abridge the freedom of speech, First Amendment is freedom of speech, or of the press, freedom of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble, the right to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances, whatever that means anymore. But nevertheless, it's basically the First Amendment is speech and writing. That's what you see it as. And no state religion. Two, guns. A well-regulated militia being necessary to security of state, the right of people to keep and bear arms should not be infringed. It's been held up by the Supreme Court numerous times. That's the right to bear arms. Amendment three, no soldier shall, in a time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. This is kind of a really oldie. I mean, that amendment. What do you mean, no soldier shall be quartered? Because what they were doing were putting troops in people's houses. They're taking away a bedroom, let's say, from a child and sticking a soldier in there. And the owner couldn't do anything about it, so it was an amendment. Said you can't do that. Amendment 4, which is a big one for liberals who defend drug dealers, is search and seizure. That's the one that the crazed lawyers from Columbia University have used to get crack dealers, coke dealers, in the old days, marijuana dealers off. A cop would stop a car, let's say somewhere in Manhattan, that was so weighed down with cocaine in the trunk that the springs were literally breaking, and The bumper was dragging on the ground, throwing off sparks. So the cop would stop the car, open the trunk, and arrest the people. They'd get some cockamamie sick lawyer from NYU who'd say illegal search and seizure. The cop had no right to stop the car. But Your Honor, the officer, we found 35 kilos of cocaine in the trunk. Doesn't matter. You had no right for illegal search and seizure. So that's four. Five, no person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless of a presentment of an indictment of a grand jury. And there's more to it than that. But the main part of five is you shall not be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against yourself. In other words, self-incrimination. Nor to be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process. No, nor shall private property be taken for public use. Tell that to Obama, who just locked up another few hundred million acres, or I don't know how many. Amendment 6, speedy and public trial. Speedy and public trial. Tell that to Nidal Hassan, who's been protected by this government now since he conducted the Fort Hood massacre in 2009. Ask yourself why he's not been executed. Why has the Muslim major Nidal Hassan, who executed 13 soldiers, including a pregnant woman, and wounded 33 at Fort Hood, not been executed? Amendment 7, jury trial. In suits at common law where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, it shows you how relevant this one is. See, the constitutional absolutist would cut your throat if you said, how dare you say $20 should be changed to $22? Say, but that was written in 1789 or something. Can you make it $20,000? No, that would be touching something sacred. You can't modify anything, ever. In suits that come up with a value constitution of $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved. No fact. Trial by jury shall be otherwise re-examined in court of law, unequivocal rules. I don't even understand. Okay, trial by jury. Got it. You're entitled to a jury. Amendment 8, excessive bail should not be required, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. The communist liberal psychos from hell have taken that to mean that you can't execute anybody. Amendment 9, the universal constitution of certain rights should not be construed to deny or disparage others that retained by the people. Can anyone explain that to me, Amendment 9? Anyone? I have a PhD. I've written 28 books. It's hard for me to understand that one. Amendment 10, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution or prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. See, that means that power derives from us, from God. It's not derived from Barbara Boxer. Our power doesn't derive from Nancy Pelosi. She can't give us powers. You understand that? Powers originate with us. She can't give them to us. They're not God Almighty. That's an important one. You don't want to mess with that one. Now, if you want me to give you my opinion, I'm not going to. But the teacher got a lot of parents mad because the lesson was, in the sixth grade, to prune two of the amendments and add two to children in the sixth grade. And she said that the Bill of Rights is outdated and may not remain in its current form any longer. Of course, it was roundly criticized because it's part of the Common Core curriculum. I actually think it's a very good lesson because it will help the teachers who believe in the Constitution explain each of the amendments and show why they are necessary. Now then, the fear, though, is that the commie libs from you know where will use it as an opportunity to say, well, you should have no right to free speech, and you should have no right to bear arms. That's what they're really afraid of, and they have every right to fear that, because you know that liberal is a new code word for something other, and I don't have to repeat it because you know what it is. And that's it. We're talking about so many different topics, I can't summarize them. So let's now move to the next subject on the Savage Nation. Why do you think our military installations have become gun-free zones? Is there something more sinister? Is it to destroy the morale and readiness of our troops, even as we are making our military bases more vulnerable to attack from the inside? Is that the reason? So there are a lot of elements that need to be discussed other than the gun or with a shooter or the distraught mother death. It's nonsense. We have a society in decline for numerous reasons. Whether we can ever see a healthy society again is up for debate. I doubt it. I think that the disease is so systemic right now, the weakness is so systemic, that it has now infected our soldiers. I know it's infected our police. It's infecting our prison population. I have a young man who works for me who works in the prisons in addition to radio. He just told me that they're drugging our prisoners to death in the jails. They used to be able to smoke in jail. And then the nanny state said, no, you can't smoke in prison. And what's that for? That's to make certain that they buy drugs in bulk from the pharmaceutical companies. And so you got prisoners now claiming that they don't feel good getting tranquilizers or antidepressants, and they sell them in the prisons to others who were addicted to them. Do you understand what's going on? Do you understand the cycle here and what the nanny state has produced? Maybe the pressure of forcing women into combat roles. allowing serious breaks in uniformity like turbans, attacks on Christianity on base, forcing gay and lesbians into the military ranks. You say, well, what does that have to do with anything? I don't know. What does it have to do with anything? It's like a pressure cooker, the military, to begin with. And what these differences do, by the way, instead of increasing unit cohesion, all of these differences that Obama and the libs love so much, instead of concentrating our unit's cohesion, what happens is it disrupts the cohesion of the ranks, and it creates an increased chance that the gas in the room is only waiting for a spark, and then in a gun-free zone, the room goes up in flames. Now, I'm not saying that gays and women and people who wear turbans shouldn't serve. I am saying that all of them should conform to the same rules that had been in place from the beginning. And that is the idea of unit cohesion or fighting as one. When the military becomes a hodgepodge of personal differences, you destroy unit cohesion and thus weaken our fighting forces in the same manner that multiculturalism forced down the throats of a nation disrupts the nation. Everybody knows that that's what's happening. In 2009, Major Nidal Hassan ambushed his fellow soldiers, screamed Allah Baha. He killed 13 and wounded 30 others. Why? Because there were no weapons in the hands of the soldiers. And yet, Fort Hood has still seen a base of a rash of suicides, and now this other attack. Why don't you ask any soldier about what his or her rifle means to them, what it symbolizes? Ask them what they feel about being defenseless as they walk around on the military base. And so as of right now, I implore President Obama, Defense Secretary Hagel, please pay attention as true Americans who are concerned about the safety and security of our men and women in uniform. I beg you to allow our men and women in uniform to defend themselves at home and to permit them to carry weapons on base. That's my call to arms on the Savage Nation. Headline, morons with tattoos on their necks celebrating something with a ball in their hand. I have no idea what the sport is. Criminal indictment of PG&E in disaster. Now, you'll notice that the biggest scandal of our lifetime has been swept off the pages already. Senator Leyland Yee, gun running, ranging from Sacramento to San Francisco, is gone. Gone with the wind, because it's not good for business for them to show that. Because, hey, if you bring down Leyland Yee, the people are liable to think, wait a minute, he's a Democrat. They're all Democrats. Maybe I shouldn't vote for a Democrat in the next election. So the next headline is illegal in-law units closer to reprieve. Muni subway solution backed to alleviate 19th Avenue jam. The fact of the matter is we have one of the greatest boondoggles in the history of the United States under construction. It's a subway to nowhere. And if you investigate the contracting fraud, which you can do, you'll find out that we have no federal oversight in San Francisco, even though we need it. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I want to go to something very important for me personally, especially at this stage of my career. The ratings came out on the internet. Talk Stream Live. Michael Savage beat everybody. My show is number one with a 20 share. No one sees shares like this at all. And I'll read what the editor of the newspaper said. Michael Savage ranked number one for the first quarter 2014 unopposed. The Savage Nation annexes afternoon drive, winning new listeners and justly reclaiming the top streaming talker spot with a 20 share. Rush Limbaugh is a solid second with a 13 share. Glenn Beck is a 7.2 share. Laura Ingraham is a 5.4 share. Hannity is a 4.1 share, and the rest we will let you find for yourself. The important thing for you to know is that there's a seismic shift going on in radio listening across the landscape, both on radio stations and on the internet. And as you know, most of the internet listening is done primarily by a younger demographic. You might say, oh, it's a marginal small audience. No, it isn't. The survey period is from the 1st of January 2014 through the 31st of March 2014. That's a whole quarter. A sample size that's very significant from an epidemiological statistical point of view, 862,425 listener sessions. TalkStreamLive.com. Now, the fact is, I'm on radio stations. That's what's really important to me. The radio stations are king. And even on the radio stations, my numbers are awesome. So no matter what Breitbart may be trying to do in order to push, let us say, their friends in the media and get a job on the radio, it's all a faker. I don't believe a word that they print on their page anymore. And for me to be pulling a 20 share at this stage with Rush dropping to a 13 share, God bless him, tells you that the times they are a-changing. And I want to ask you something. What do you think is going on in the media that I am suddenly surging to a... You know what a 20 share means? That means 20% of all the people are listening to talk radio. These are numbers that are unheard of today. But that's not the only topic I want to talk about. Here are the top headlines on michaelsavage.com. Your friend George Soros, the left-wing fanatic, money changer in the temple, has funneled at least $80 million over the last 20 years trying to legalize marijuana. You may say, that's great. That's really humane. Is it humane to put children on drugs? Is it humane to hook little children onto a dangerous drug like marijuana and have them think that it's just simply a nice, safe, natural product? When, in fact, you ask any parent whose child died of a heroin overdose what they think. You heard me. Ask a parent who had a child who was a drug addict or is a drug addict if they think marijuana is harmless and should be legalized. Hello? No. It's the most dangerous of all drugs in the world, which is exactly why George Soros wants marijuana legalized. Why? Because it can make a generation of people stupider than they are today. Now, having said that, I believe marijuana usage should be decriminalized. That's totally different. It is a dangerous drug. Nevertheless, this is a lost cause, because you know and I know that a majority of Americans favor legalizing marijuana. And the reason is most Americans have given up on any morality or any sense of sanity. You know that and I know that. They're on marijuana, they're on Prozac, they're on Adderall, they're on drugs, and they just don't care. They're living on the soma that Aldous Huxley warned us about. Also today on the Savage Nation, we've been discussing the $1.5 million hotel bill for Obama's one-day visit to Brussels. The Mideast is in turmoil. Thank you, Hillary and John Kerry. You haven't heard much about Russia and Crimea, have you? Not a few words about that anymore because it's a lost cause? Hey, he lost on that, so you don't hear about it. $6 billion has gone missing from the State Department. Congress says it's underpaid. Hillary, the most partisan woman in the history of America, says partisanship is taking the U.S. backwards. When she was asked to list her accomplishments during her tenure as Secretary of State, she could not do so. Well, I'll give you one. The turmoil in the Middle East. That's all. What else? I mean, what else has Hillary achieved other than smiling all the time and wearing large dresses? She's the most partisan individual in the history of the co-presidency. And here she is telling us the country's too partisan. Of course, she spoke at a conference moderated by a New York Times leftist named Friedman. Nobody would challenge her. But while she was at State Department, she introduced the Arab Spring, which led to the Arab Winter, which led to the crime and burnings and killings and murderings that are going on. So how in the world can anyone believe in her? The answer is we don't have another party to take her on. It's that simple. And so just keep smoking your marijuana and leave it up to the leaders. They'll lead you in the right direction. No longer do we read about the scandal in San Francisco where a major Democrat was found trying to smuggle arms. Well, that concludes all of the news headlines right here on the Savage Nation. Good night and good luck.
Savage.
We don't keep our opinions to ourselves, and neither should you. On the only conservative station in the Bay Area, Hot Talk 560, KSFO.